podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Cuts in on the right foot, launches a golazo!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, goal!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and brought to you in part by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live on 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app. We get it started with a little Muchachos, the official song of the 2022 World Cup champions of Argentina. And we'll find out who will be lifting the trophy on July 19th after everything gets started tomorrow. This has been a journey to get here for all of these teams, for the United States, for Mexico, for Canada. And I'm so glad that we are just about there. Actually having a ball rolling out on the field and talking about the players and talking about the teams and talking about the tactics and talking about the saves and the tackles and the goals and the dribbles and the nutmegs and all of the things that we are going to get on display in over 100 games from tomorrow until July 19th. 48 teams. It's going to be a wild ride. It's been a wild ride for the city of Atlanta to get to this point. And this is a huge deal for the city of Atlanta to host 8 World Cup games, including the second semifinal. The second biggest game in the tournament is going to be in Atlanta on July 15th. I wrote a piece over at soccerdownhere.net today, and this was one that I'd been sitting on for a minute and had been rewriting and analyzing and digging and adding to, and it's kind of evolved over a long period of time. It's a history lesson and honestly kind of a love letter to my hometown. Yeah, I wasn't born in Atlanta proper, but I've lived in Atlanta proper with 1 year of an exception since 2004. I think I can claim it. Clayton County, close enough. Born in Riverdale. Went to high school in Henry County at Eagles Landing. Went to UGA, just up the road. But I have watched this city grow up, both from a soccer perspective and from a sports perspective, and just as a, from a civic perspective. And sports has always been a big part of it. Check out the piece, the city that built itself into this moment. But the highlights... Sports has been a key catalyst for the city of Atlanta to create opportunity for its people to, I think, to show what makes this place so special. Why so many people want to move here, right? Why so many people relocate and raise their families in the metro Atlanta area. We're really lucky to get to call this place home, and what makes us lucky is the people that are here, and people from all walks of life, people from all backgrounds. And over time, starting with the Braves and the Falcons, who came here in 1966, to play in a stadium that the city built before they had a team. They took a gamble. They bet on themselves, and they brought teams in. One of those first teams that came in, actually before the Hawks, was the Atlanta Chiefs, a soccer team. There were a couple hundred people that played soccer in the city of Atlanta in 1967 when that team started. By the end of its second year, when they won a championship and had hosted Manchester City and had hosted Palais Santos, there were thousands of kids playing organized soccer by that point. So many seeds that were planted at that time are now what makes Atlanta so special on a soccer front. Atlanta United, obviously, everything that the team has done to continue that growth and hit the accelerator and blow it up to an even bigger level than we ever could have dreamed 10 years ago when we were waiting for this team to start. And in all the things that's going to come from this, think back to 1996. There's definitely a line where Atlanta was very different before 1996 and very different after. And it took some time, I think, to fully realize that. It took about 10 years, honestly, to fully realize having an Olympics. And oh boy, did it do that. This is a city that is far more international than it ever was. So many more opportunities for world business, for the citizens of the world to come to Atlanta and call it home. And soccer is one aspect of that that has benefited, and also one aspect of Atlanta now that has made its new citizens and made its new people feel at home. The sport that we talk about every night, the sport that we love so much. Centennial Olympic Park is a legacy of the 1996 Olympics. I think some of the legacies of this World Cup are going to be Centennial Yards and South Downtown. Two generational developments that are going to be up and running, maybe not in totality, but up and running and showing off for this city during this World Cup. It's such a special time. And it's so cool to be able to talk about this on the station and talk about these things with you and share some of the clips that I wanted to share with you tonight before our good friend Kevin Egan joins the show in the next segment at 10:20. Excited to talk to Kevin about his World Cup picks. We have not rehearsed anything, so I am very intrigued to see where that conversation goes. That's coming up on the other side of the break. But before we get there, I wanted to share some different voices to get you ready for this World Cup. First up, Georgia State women's soccer coach Ed Joyce, just about the excitement of having the World Cup get started.
With our international contingent, we've got a growing number of girls that watch kind of Premier League and La Liga and international football in general. You know, I think for us, we'd get a lot more if it was happening during the fall.
Yeah.
And we could kind of do some things around it. Yeah. But luckily, with our new report date, we'll be around for the very latter stages of it, so we can do some things around that as a group. But you know, I think the overall recognition of the game worldwide across both genders, I think, is making it, like you said, a bit more reciprocal in nature. So you know, hopefully, you know, for us selfishly coaching women, it creates a big buzz for next summer, because I think that's the biggest thing we see as a development of kind of the game worldwide, is just for the women has just exploded in the last 10-12 years, so hopefully that carries on.
We've talked about this World Cup being not the end of something, but actually the start. Women's World Cup in Brazil next summer. You're going to have a lot of crossover back and forth between the women's game growing this summer, the men's game growing with all the interest next summer. Brett Cerency, the men's head coach at Georgia State, talking about the excitement for kids and the opportunity for kids to experience this World Cup.
Yeah, and growing even outside of ATL as well.
Yeah.
You know, so obviously there's different mechanisms within MLS and, you know, protecting players and this, that, and the other. But, you know, you're seeing a lot of Georgia-based kids that are popping up at other MLS academies as well too. But, no, I think you're exactly right. And I think that was always going to be natural when the new player in town kind of came in and you needed a couple waves of players to come through. You know, and I think – probably even the outside clubs of LA United need to see that as well too, that, you know, you're seeing more now where I feel like early on it was like, don't take my player.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's almost like a rite of passage where the clubs are taking pride in, hey, like this kid came through us.
Yeah.
You know, and ultimately that probably is what it needs to be, you know, because there's no fighting the elephant in the room. You know what I mean? Like there's one professional MLS team in this market, you know, and if you are sending your players to that and they ultimately and you know, hopefully have that upward trajectory to the first team, like that, you know, that's a feather in your cap, so to speak, as a club. So no, I would agree, and I think that's what Ed's alluding to as well too, is that if that now then takes some or gives some structure on the women's side as well too, like ultimately it's probably better for the player.
With the current trajectory of so many top young players coming out of this area, that's only going to increase with kids who become fans of Lamine Yamal or Desiree Doué or all these young talented players that we're going to see over these next 6 weeks or so. Next, somebody who is very involved in helping that generation that is currently making its way into Atlanta United's academy continue to flourish, Javier Perez, the director of methodology for Atlanta United. we had a long conversation today, and you'll be able to hear all of that here very soon. But we talked about how the Blank family, especially Arthur and Josh now leading the way on the soccer side, how their values have helped really set the tone for Atlanta United's values and throughout the academy. Here's Javier Perez.
Yeah, I would say that's everything. And it's tied with the answer that I gave prior, right? Mm-hmm. You need to have the right people. You need to have the people that they have integrity, they have values, and then you everything else comes after. And obviously the Blank family, they are extremely successful, and they know how to build a business, how to support people, and how to believe in people. And I feel that way with them. And I got three different emails from Mr. Blank. So when you think about someone at his level is able to connect that way with the associates, and he cares so much at all levels of the company, that gives you energy, you know, that gives you motivation to continue and make a better work. And it's the same for the rest of the department. You know, we feel that we are in a special place, and the better way to say thank you is to put all the energy and work to the best of your ability, matching the values of the company.
Javier Perez, the director of methodology for Atlanta United. The emails he was talking about from Mr. Blank is about the academy teams that have done so well as of late, reaching the final and winning it on the U13s and reaching the final and coming up just short on the U16s. Two teams in the finals, the only MLS club that had two of their academy teams in the finals last weekend in the MLS Next Cup playoffs. Let's go to two-time FIFA World Cup referee Matthew Conger. Started his soccer journey as a goalkeeper in Athens, Georgia. Ended up in New Zealand and represented New Zealand at two World Cups, the last two, 2018 and 2022. I wanted to play this clip for you as we get ready for the World Cup and we think about the referee side of it and how difficult it is. It feels like they always rise to the occasion when you get to the World Cup and you get the best of the best, and it's very rare that we have the conversations about referees struggling to keep up with that. Here's one reason why, trying to keep the consistency from game to game, even with referees from all over the world. Here's Matthew Conger, two-time World Cup referee.
Look, I've got to say, it is largely down to the effort that each referee is putting into it, and because there is a party line. This is like in terms of going, this is what we expect, and you do have to adjust, I guess, a little bit what that what your interpretation might be of a situation, and there's a lot of pressure to conform, right? You have to, you've got to be really mindful of that decision. And sometimes it's like, I'm not sure if this is going to be, it's whether it's going to be supported or not supported, depending on things. And then while there is discussion and application, hey, this, what should this outcome be? Some of those broader capabilities around how are we communicating that? How are we actually working together as a cohesive team? I'll be honest. I think there's a lot of room for development there. Because that is when some of those things come unstuck, right? So those things that are just implied, hey, we just expect you to know, we just expect that should happen. It's like, well, actually, especially when you apply under pressure, and I've studied quite a bit of that side of it, all the capabilities that kind of underpin refereeing, that are both make refereeing such a valuable resource in terms of those skills that you're developing to bring in, not, you know, you're applying them on the field, but you're also applying them in life.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we can be way more explicit about how we teach and develop and then reinforce those, especially in those high performance, high pressure environments.
It was a really good conversation with Matthew Conger about the art of refereeing. A lot of content coming out for you on the SDH Network and here on the Off the Woodwork podcast from 92.9 The Game and Odyssey, and so much more to come. The tournament kicks off tomorrow, Mexico and South Africa at 3 o'clock from the Estadio Azteca, the first stadium to host three World Cups. Coming up next, we're going to talk to an old friend of the show. It's been a minute since I've had a chance to catch up with him because he has been extremely busy. We'll talk about all of that. Kevin Egan, voice of Major League Soccer on Apple TV, coming up on the other side of the break. You're listening to Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Soccer on the world stage, and Jason Longshore has it all covered.
With Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Welcome back, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Less than 24 hours away from the start of the 2026 World Cup, and there is nobody I would rather be talking about it with right now than our guest, Kevin Egan. You guys remember him from Atlanta United Television broadcast. You know him from Apple TV, MLS 360. What's up, Kev?
'Twas the night before the World Cup, and all through the house, Jason, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. How are you, bud?
I am good. How about you?
I'm buzzing. I'm tired, if I'm honest. You've caught me. I'm in bed now. I'm ready to head to sleep. It's been a few days. It's been phenomenal. Like, it's what dreams are made of. Quite honestly, I'll take the fatigue and then some, because you grow up loving the game, and we dream of moments like this. The World Cup coming to Atlanta, where we live, the city preparing to welcome the world. You see the images already of the Dutch heading through the streets of Kansas City, and you know, it's that sort of thing. It really does make the hair stand up in the back of your neck, because it's just what you see from afar all the time, and now it's coming our way. And I think Atlanta's ready to stand up and show out, and really, like, you know, the old South got something to say. I think we really do.
You've got a million things going on right now, and a couple of them are kind of all colliding at the moment, trying to get ready for this World Cup. Tell everybody about what you'll be doing with FIFA Fan Festival.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'll be up on stage tomorrow. I'm hosting the FIFA Fan Festival at Centennial Olympic Park. So we've got some great guests. We've got tomorrow, you know, some musical acts. We've got the governor. We've got the mayor. We've obviously got the game, which is the most important part, is the World Cup kicks off tomorrow. And it's so funny, as I prepare for this, I found myself earlier on today thinking about the dignitaries and thinking about these. And I caught myself and I said to my wife, Meg, I'm thinking about all these things. And then I remember, it's the World Cup and it's starting tomorrow. That's the part that you nearly forget at times when you're preparing for these things. But the World Cup kicks off. The last time we had the World Cup was 3.5 years ago, as we saw Lionel Messi lift the World Cup with Albi Celeste in Argentina, and in the greatest football game I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. So here we go again from Mexico, Estadio Azteca, South Africa, the visitor, the same game we saw, the reverse fixture, of course, in 2010. That kicked off the World Cup, and I just think it's going to be a magical occasion downtown. We're expecting pretty much a sold-out crowd, and when I say sold out, a jam-packed crowd, because there still is ability for people to get in and join the park. I don't think we're turning people away anytime soon. So please go to AtlantaFWC26.com and register for your free ticket. You need to be registered to get in, and we're going to have an awful lot of walk-ups. We're going to have a lot of people we're expecting that will show up that won't have done that. And if that's the case, as well as the number that I'm hearing that are already en route, it's going to be such a special occasion.
Yeah, I think the fan festival, and I've said it many times, I've had this conversation with people from other parts of the world as well. You know, we've talked a lot about ticket prices ahead of this World Cup. And look, it's a valid conversation. Tickets are expensive to anything that you want to go to now. If you want to go to a big concert, if you want to go to the NBA Finals going on right now, the ticket prices for that have been crazy. But the Fan Festival is such an amazing opportunity to share in this celebration of a game that we love so much with people from everywhere, all walks of life, watching the game and then talking about it after.
You know, Jason, I said on Fox 5 yesterday, I was on with Elise Edie and we were talking about the World Cup, and she said, what about the folks that don't really, you know, find themselves into soccer, right? And that aren't fans of football. What do you say to them? And I said, like, the World Cup isn't exactly about the game itself. The World Cup is a celebration of people, a celebration of humanity. It brings people together from all over the world. It's the only time you're really going to see, you know, we're here in Atlanta, we're going to see fans of DR Congo and fans of Uzbekistan dancing together in the streets. It's the most beautiful sight you'll ever see. Tens of thousands of people walking the streets of Atlanta together, chanting in unison and singing songs together. You know, if you want to have a beer at 9 a.m., have a beer at 9 a.m. Sing, have fun, dance. And my only advice to anybody in their car listening right now or wherever you're listening from is dive in and embrace it, because it's going to be coming. It's going to come and go before we know it. We're talking here on the eve of the World Cup, and before we know it, Jason, we're going to be having a recap show of how the World Cup went. And I don't want folks to miss it. Like, don't be on the sidelines when this happens. I said it on the show, and I'll say it again. Like, you don't want to, you know, try and remember that random Wednesday that you sat in your slippers all day. You will remember the time you went downtown and joined in the festivities of a free fan festival put on by the World Congress Center Authority. And the fabulous folks there are doing such a great job to put this on for the city. And I just think it's going to be one that folks will want to dive in on and taste food they've never tasted before. You know, learn a language or speak a few words of a language that they've never heard before. Those are the most special things about a World Cup. And that's what I've been trying to teach my kids and tell my kids that aren't quite into the game yet. But when they hear these stories of fans dancing and having fun, and everybody's out to have fun, everybody's out to have a laugh and enjoy it. And if you get a victory along the way, wonderful. But I guarantee you this. Even if teams fall short, those fans are going to have a great time.
You mentioned having a beer at 9 a.m., and you might actually have a place that could help with that in the vicinity, huh?
It's true. I'm the co-owner of the Irish Exit, and we're opening up this weekend in Centennial Yards in downtown Atlanta. We'll be the closest pub to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, or Atlanta Stadium, as it'll be known during the tournament. So we're so excited. I can tell you this. I'm biased, of course, but it's looking beautiful. It is looking absolutely fabulous. My friend Pierce White's done a great job. We're working with a group called the Dead Rabbit. If anyone knows the group called the Dead Rabbit, they've won World Bar of the Year a few times up in New York, and they're top class operators. So we're really excited to have you guys in, have a live show from the Irish Exit at some point, Jason.
That's going to happen.
Just embrace it. Like, we're part of the group with the Centennial Yards Entertainment District with COSM. And those guys have done a great job to be open here for the World Cup as well. So we'll be the only two entities open for the tournament.
Here's something that's really cool, and you're getting a chance to experience it. I kind of grew up seeing this happen. So Centennial Olympic Park is the best legacy of the 1996 Olympics. That area was nothing at the time before the Olympics. Now it's the front porch for the city. Centennial Yards and South Downtown, right in that 1 mile footprint away from the stadium, is now being developed. And that's going to be one of the legacies of this World Cup for the city of Atlanta.
So true. It's such a great point you make. And the Spanish Federation are based in South Downtown.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's where their base is right now. And to see Tech Village the way it's going up too. I was in the old CNN Center today, and it's looking
absolutely phenomenal. The center is another huge development. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's really exciting. And I'll say this, Jason, the zest for collaboration within the city is wonderful to experience. And I've lived in Chicago and I've lived in Miami, and I'll say it, and I don't mean to throw shade, but I never felt that was there. And you look at how difficult it was for David Beckham to get his stadium over the line in Miami. You know, Chicago, I think it's there for all to see with the Bears stadium and everything going on right now there. The city of Atlanta, and I'll be on stage tomorrow with the governor, Brian Kemp, and the mayor, Andre Dickens. And both of those guys were shaking hands, smiling, laughing at the New York Stock Exchange not so long ago. And they may stand on the opposite sides of the aisle politically, but they get along and they do their best for the city of Atlanta and the state of Georgia. And that's a wonderful thing.
Atlanta is the greatest group project that we've ever seen, for sure. I love that line from Andre Dickens. Kevin Egan hanging out with me for a little bit longer. We actually have to talk about the soccer now because I'm going to hold you to make some picks because I made mine earlier tonight on a Soccer Down Here show. I got off the fence. I had been waffling a little bit on some picks, but my picks are locked. I'm going to give those in the next segment. What team do you think could be a big surprise this summer? Okay. I'll give you an open one. A big surprise, positive or negative?
A big surprise. I think I'll go with the negative.
Okay.
And I'll pick Argentina.
Oh, we got problems already.
I know. And I don't even like my pick in a way. I just think if they do start slow in any way, they could end up hitting Spain in the round of 32.
Yep.
And I wouldn't fancy Argentina in that game.
No.
Because I think in these conditions, having the ball is going to benefit you so much. In the heat, in the United States, in Mexico, Canada. And that's where I feel like England will fall short. I think that they go up against a team that possess the ball better, make them chase a little bit. I think they'll struggle. And I don't know how Argentina would do against a side like Spain. I think Spain would pass them off the park, and I think Spain would win that game. So Argentina should win their group. They absolutely should win their group.
Yeah, but
one slip up, though. Yeah, I think they will too. But one slip up, and I don't know. It was such ecstasy 3.5 years ago when they won the World Cup that I don't know how you replicate that. I just don't. And Messi's 39 in a couple of weeks. It's very difficult to do it again if you're Lionel Messi. So and I'm not saying not winning it is falling short, but certainly, if they were to go out in the round of 32, that'd be a major disappointment.
Oh, yeah, massive, massive. What player do you think we're going to be talking about at the end of this? We always associate a World Cup with a player. It was their tournament. Who is that going to be this summer?
This is great. I love this because there's so many young stars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd love to see a guy like Esmir Bajrakterević. Have a great tournament. Someone who played at the New England Revolution, who's starring for Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Great player.
That might be a player that he seems to be really comfortable within that group. And anytime I've seen him play, he seems to really thrive with the national team. So good for him. Like, he's a kid from Wisconsin who's playing for Bosnia and Herzegovina. It's such a cool story. I also think Michael Olise.
He's on my list.
It's weird, isn't it? Because I think Michael Olise, and maybe you could throw Harry Kane into this realm of player that's taken the road less traveled, should we say? You know, like Harry Kane was loaned out so many times as a young player, but trying to break through, and the same can be said for Michael Olise, who eventually found his way to Reading. And, you know, he breaks through at Reading. And at the same time, Kylian and Mbappe and Ousmane Dembele, who'll be starting in the front three with him, were absolute superstars at their clubs, you know, coming through at Borussia Dortmund, at Monaco. And Michael Olise's had to really grind and make it happen. And now at this point in time, Jason, Michael Olise's arguably the biggest star in that front three, certainly in terms of form. He's been excellent of late. With the national team and with his club. So he's someone who could be that kind of household name, because I still feel he's not quite that, as crazy as that is to say.
Yeah.
For the casual fan, like, I'm looking at a magazine my son brought in from Publix downstairs, and he saw it and he said, can we get this for Dada? And he brought it in, and it was the 100 top players at the World Cup. Guess who's not in the 100, by the way?
He's not in there?
No, he is. He's behind so many players. But Messi and Ronaldo are both not in the 100. And I just thought, that is, like, what sort of galactically stupid person is putting that list together?
What are we doing? Oh my goodness.
You don't think Cristiano Ronaldo in a side like Portugal with so many, it's the best Portugal team he's ever had.
It is.
You don't think if he's that predator, you don't think he can score, you know, 5-6 goals in this World Cup? Of course he can.
He can. He's capable, and he's got a lot of support around him. All right, I got time for one more question. You know what it is. Who's going to win?
I don't have the answer. I wish I did.
You don't have one.
All right. No, here's what I'll give you.
Okay.
I'll go with a team that's never won it. And
wow,
we've only
okay.
ever had eight nations that have won the World Cup, the three from South America, five from Europe,
yep.
Uruguay, Brazil, Argentina, and then the five big ones from Europe. So I'm going to go with the sixth from Europe and say Portugal. And I have major doubts around Roberto Martinez as a head coach. And I have the same doubts that everybody has when it comes to Portugal around Ronaldo and how Roberto Martinez manages him. Mm-hmm. But there's something about Cristiano. There's something about his winning mentality. And he's never won the World Cup. And this is it for him. He's not playing when he's 45, surely. So this has got to be it for him. So I'm going to say Portugal. Vitinha is like my favorite midfielder, maybe same. At the moment in world football. So I think I'll say Portugal here.
Wow, that's bold. You've been drinking the Kool-Aid. I've seen that Kool-Aid going around a little bit.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well, what's not to like? They're excellent. They've got a great defense. They've got a really good midfield. Like, I'm looking at projections that don't even have Bernardo Silva in their team.
That's wild.
You know?
That's wild.
I know. So is their biggest weakness the Ronaldo Gonzalo Ramos situation?
Yeah, I think it might be.
And if that's their biggest weakness, Jason, they're a really good team.
They are
if
really
that's good. Their biggest weakness when you've got the win. Like Ronaldo, one other thing, and I know you have to go to break.
Yep.
Ronaldo can't be the headache that he's been in the past. And I say that. I say he can't because Vitinha is a megastar. João Neves is a megastar. Ruben Dias is a megastar. Bernardo Silva, Bruno Fernandes. So all of these guys aren't now going to let Ronaldo have the influence that he had in the past because they're megastars in the current game. So Ronaldo has to fit in. Ronaldo has to be the one to make it work for him and the team. And I think that's going to help them. And he knows that they can drag Portugal to a World Cup. And he's going to want to be on side with them. So I think it's a really curious one. Roberto Martinez has to have the nous in this tournament to guide Portugal home. But they absolutely have the talent to go and win it.
They do. Can you imagine if they both win their group and they both win in the round of 32? Round of 16 here in Atlanta. Last dance, Messi versus Ronaldo.
Is that the story? Is that it?
Huh?
And who would they, any idea, because you're Jason Longshore, you know this stuff, any idea who they would fit? Well, it could be anyone, I suppose. But if they win their groups and they win the round of 32, they're playing in Atlanta.
They're Messi both playing
Ronaldo,
each other.
Can you imagine?
Insane.
Please, football gods. You took Ireland away from me. At least give us that one.
Oh, man, it's going to be a wild month. I'm going to have to try to track you down for another guest appearance on AST this upcoming month and a half.
Jason,
okay?
I love chatting. You're the best to do it. And the city of Atlanta, the state of Georgia, and beyond, and I mean this beyond, you're listening to the best football voice there is. So please, Jason, thank you for all you do. And anytime I get a chance to join you, I'd love to.
Much appreciated. We'll have a pint over at your pub here soon, too.
Love that.
Got to make that happen.
Take care, bud.
Kevin Egan, thank you so much for joining me. Coming up on the other side of the break, 3-4-3. I've got three surprises this summer. I've got four players to watch. And I will give you the top three teams, according to my prognostications, in this summer's World Cup as we close out the tournament preview portion of AST's 50 days of soccer talk on 92.9 The Game. It's all coming up on the other side of the break on 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
And now we end the night with a bit of structure.
Shot. Goal!
Let's get the formation set. It's the 3-4-3 on Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Welcome back, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Final 3-4-3 before the tournament starts. And we've talked about this a lot over the past 10 days. We've talked about what to expect. We've talked about some of the major players in this tournament. I've still been kind of formulating what my picks would be because there's been a lot of topsy-turvy kinds of things. You've got injuries. You've got things coming out in the press about teams. You've got disappointing performances. You've got good performances. You've got all kinds of stuff to dig into when we talk about predictions. I'm going to give you three sets of predictions right now in the 3-4-3. First three surprises to watch for this summer. And I'm going to give you three teams that I think will be surprises. Number one, I've talked about this one a lot, Ecuador. I really like this Ecuador team. I love having Moises Caicedo just as a hunter in this competition. You heard it from Kevin Egan in the last segment. The conditions are going to affect some teams more than others. They're not going to affect Ecuador. I think they're actually going to help Ecuador a lot. A great back line. And you talk about Pacho, you talk about Ngapié. This is a really strong team that flies under the radar out of South America. I think Sebastian Bekasese is one of the top up-and-coming managers in the world. And he's got a style of play that is going to be really well suited to wearing teams out and putting them away at the end. I think Ecuador is going to be a surprise and go deep into this tournament. I could see quarterfinal for them. Japan is another one for me. I think Japan's a little bit different than Ecuador in that they are probably going to sit a little bit more and hit you on the break. They're going to be very well organized. They can win the ball and keep it. I wish they leaned into that just a little bit more. But in counters, in transitions, Japan is as good as it gets in this tournament. We saw it in 2022. They're going to cause teams a lot of problems when they get out on the break. And I think you're going to have a lot of those moments in this tournament because, again, you're going to have tired legs. You're going to have sore legs. You're going to have guys who have played 60 games this year, and they're going to hit a wall in this tournament. I think Japan and Ecuador are two teams who do it differently, but are going to be able to take advantage of that. The third team in my surprise category is a bit of a wild card. And if it comes good, I will probably talk about it for a while. I'm picking Cabo Verde to get out of the group stage and make it to the knockout round. And I'm going to pick them because this is a team that has shown that they can pull these kinds of surprises pretty regularly. They had a very difficult group to get out of in African World Cup qualifying. They got past Cameroon. Cameroon is the most accomplished African country before Morocco at the World Cup. Morocco passed that last time around, getting to the semifinal. Cameroon nearly got to a semifinal in 1990 when they played one of the all-time classic matches in World Cup history against England and probably should have won that match. They tied the eventual champions in 1982 in Italy. They didn't get here because of Cabo Verde. Cabo Verde is a really good defensive team. They've got a good number of players with pedigree. I think they're going to get out of the group. I think it'll likely be as a third-place team. And the reason why is I think they're going to keep the game tight against Spain. Spain in game one are probably going to take it easy with Lamine Yamal and Nico Williams. Cabo Verde has to keep it tight with Uruguay, which I think they will, because I don't think this Uruguayan team is going to be able to explode on many people. And then they have to beat Saudi Arabia, which I think they're a better team than Saudi Arabia. So Cabo Verde is going to go to the knockout rounds in their first World Cup. That is my prediction here in this 3-4-3 of predictions on AST. All right, four players that are going to be talked about as the kings of this World Cup. Number one, Harry Kane. I think he's going to score a lot of goals. I think he's going to have to for England to have the kind of tournament that I think they're fully capable of. He has been outstanding since going to Bayern Munich. It was the right move for him, and I know a lot of people questioned it in England at the time because you just don't see English players leave England all that often. He went to Bayern. He's finally won things, which is great for him, and he's going to come into this tournament with, I think, a lot of momentum and a lot of pressure, but I think he's the kind of guy that can handle that. If England gets to where I think they will get, Harry Kane is going to be the one to carry them there. Number two on players that will define this World Cup. Kevin Egan mentioned him in the last segment, Michael Olise. I have questions about France, and I think Michael Olise is going to have to answer some of those because Kylian Mbappe's health is a question. Kylian Mbappe's fit with this team at times is a question. I think Michael Olise is going to have to pick up some of that slack. And he's in the form to do it. He is one of the top players in the world right now on form. Michael Olise is going to be huge for France this summer. Another player out of my four that are going to define this World Cup tournament, Lautaro Martinez of Argentina. Coming in off of a Serie A title, I think he's going to take advantage of a lot of attention being paid to Lionel Messi and potentially what could be the almost $200 million man in Julian Alvarez. We'll see if he ends up leaving Atleti. They're probably going to have some more funny tweets about it. I think Lautaro Martinez is going to be the guy who takes advantage of it, because I feel like he's in some way flying under the radar coming into this. He's been injured in the World Cup tournaments before. He didn't have his best World Cup last time in Qatar. He wasn't 100%. But go back and look at what he did in the Copa America in 2024. On form, Lautaro Martinez is one of the most ruthless finishers in the world. He's on form. And he's got a lot of talent around him to find him in those dangerous positions. Lautaro Martinez is going to define this tournament in a lot of ways. And the fourth player in this list for me is Pedri. Spain is much more than I think any other team in this tournament a collection of players as opposed to a standout. And one of the reasons why, maybe Lamine Yamal coming in just a little banged up, maybe Nico Williams coming in just a little banged up as well. But when you get teams like that, that are the collective as opposed to one player carrying them, a lot of times it's a central midfielder that is what drives them. Pedri is going to be the one who can drive Spain offensively and drive them to defend and see games out. Pedri, in my opinion, is going to win the Golden Ball this summer. All right, three teams, the final three. I'll even give you a bonus. I think the team that is going to lose the third place game is England. Sorry, England. The team that's going to win the third place game in this 3-4-3, Germany. I think Germany's going to make a run in this tournament. I think they are a team that can deal with the conditions. I think they're a team that can deal with the heat. I think they've got a good bit of depth. I think they can adjust. I think Julian Nagelsmann is one of the better tacticians in this tournament. Kai Havertz comes in really in good form at the moment. I think this is a very good German team, and I'm not just saying this because they beat the U.S., last time out. I think this is a German team that can make a deep run. I wouldn't have said that a year ago, but I think Nagelsmann has got them there, and I think some of the players that maybe needed to grow up a little bit in this team have. I think Germany wins the third place match over England. The second place team in this summer's World Cup, according to my predictions on AST in this 3-4-3, the defending champions, Argentina. And if you know me, you know that is painful for me to say. I've said it consistently, though, over the last year. I think Kevin Egan said it in the last segment as well, even though I think they're going to get further than he does. This is an Argentina team that is older. This is an Argentina team that is banged up coming in. I do think they have a very, very manageable group, and they can manage Lionel Messi, Leandro Paredes, Gonzalo Montiel. They can manage these guys getting up to as good of a level of fitness as they can. But I think they're going to get really far. I just don't know if they've got enough to win this World Cup, because the team that I think that will, and this is the number one team in the last section of the 3-4-3, Spain. I thought they were going to be my pick after the World Cup draw. I said it here on the station in the show that we did after that. In the March window, they concerned me. They did not look their sharpest. Lamine Yamal's injury greatly concerned me. Nico Williams' injury greatly concerned me. It looks like both of those guys are going to be eased in. They're both, at least according at this stage from Luis de la Fuente, they are both going to take part in game one here in Atlanta. You would assume game two here in Atlanta as well. They're going to be able to get up to speed. And again, a fortunate group. And those first two games, fortunate for Spain. You do get Cabo Verde in their World Cup debut. You get Saudi Arabia in game two. Spain should win those two games. You can bring Lamine Yamal and Nico Williams along and build them up as the tournament goes. I agree with a lot of what Kevin said about Argentina and Spain. I think that matchup's going to be the final. And I do think Spain is going to make it so difficult for Argentina to get back on the ball in those key moments. this midfield, Rodri, Fabian Ruiz, Pedri, you've got Gavi who's going to factor in as well. So much talent in the Spanish national team. They are my pick for your World Cup 2026 champions. And they start that journey here in Atlanta next Monday against Cabo Verde. But tomorrow, our collective World Cup journeys start in Mexico City in the Estadio Azteca, a building that Pelé has lifted the World Cup trophy in and a building that Diego Maradona has lifted the World Cup trophy in. Mexico is going to kick us off against South Africa tomorrow at 3 o'clock. We will be back here. We'll meet back here tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, to talk about that one, to talk about game two that will be going on while we're on, all the different things as we get ready for the U.S. men's national team against Paraguay on Friday night. All the things to come. We haven't kicked the tournament off yet. We do it tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Big thank you to Kevin Egan for joining me tonight. Big thank you to Orner Romain back at the studio. Atlanta Soccer Tonight. We'll be back in 23 hours. Adios, everybody.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to our look at the world of soccer.
And Jason Longshore has it all covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Welcome in. It's stoppage time here on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Hopefully you had a chance to listen to the show this evening on the radio and on the Odyssey app. If you missed it, everything will be posted probably in about 30 minutes or so on the Off the Woodwork podcast. Kevin Egan had predictions. Kevin Egan picked Portugal to win the World Cup. I picked Spain. I went through it in the 3-4-3. If you just heard it, I picked Spain to beat Argentina in the final, Germany to beat England in the third place match. It's going to be a wild ride, man. I'm really looking forward to this. We will be talking about it all throughout the tournament. Again, Atlanta Soccer Tonight. It's going to what it feels like at this point. Atlanta Soccer Tonight will be live every night during the tournament, with one exception, because we'll be calling an Atlanta United match on Friday, July 17th. But we'll be all over the map on the schedule. Just to run down that really quickly. Tomorrow, normal time, 10 p.m., we will do a little bit of a watch-along tomorrow as we have a match in the evening, which is going to be a wild ride. Mexico and South Africa, 3 o'clock tomorrow. I believe I'm going to be at the Brew House, OG Brew House, in Little Five Points for that one. Madison Cruz, John Nelson, they will be at the Mill at Etowah. An SDH show tomorrow after that, probably about 5:15 or so on the start. Drew Dickinson joining in there. We had a show tonight at Local Vine off of Cobb Parkway. Technically an Atlanta address, but you might think of it as the Cumberland Mall area. You might think of it as the Vinings area near the Battery as well. It's one of those areas. It has a lot of names. But really great show there. We talked a lot of World Cup there, myself and Scott Flood. But here's what's coming up on AST the rest of this weekend, at least through Sunday, because I can only think a few days ahead right now. It is tomorrow, 10 o'clock on the radio, 11 o'clock on YouTube. We'll have stoppage time. We're going to take that all the way through the end of that match, which I have to actually look up to see what that match is, because I'm so focused on the first game with Mexico and South Africa. I'm like, oh yeah, what's the other game tomorrow? We got two. It's South Korea and Czechia. We will be watching that together and talking about it on the radio, on the Odyssey app, in a podcast form that'll be posted after. And here on YouTube. We'll have the whole thing on YouTube tomorrow. Sorry about the technical difficulties doing YouTube tonight. I was not smart enough to figure out how to pipe Kevin Egan's sound into the YouTube as well, because that was coming from the studio. So this is why it's a little bit of a split squad game today. I apologize. Friday, AST will be pre-US men's national team, and we will be live from Mazzy's in Duluth. 6 to 8, so 2 hours to get you ready for the biggest match in U.S. soccer history. I don't feel like that's hyperbole. I think that's an accurate statement. That will be from 6 to 8 we'll talk about maybe the lineup. I think we might have a lineup by the time that show goes off the air. Talk about what we want to see from the lineup. We'll talk about all that. We'll check in with Madison Cruz from the Mill at Etowah, where there are parties at Reformation Brewing. There are parties on the green there at the Mill at Etowah, Georgia Impact. Our good friends are involved in all of that. We will be doing all of those things on Friday, 6 to 8, live from Mazzy's in Duluth. Saturday, 4:20, I'm going to be joining Mitch Evans on Saturday afternoon on the station here, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey app. From 5 to 7:40, 2 hours and 40 minutes of World Cup talk. We'll talk U.S. We'll talk about what's happened on Saturday up to that point. We'll talk about what's coming. 2 hours and 40 minutes on Saturday from 5 to 7:40. That will be definitely on the radio, definitely on the Odyssey app, potentially on YouTube as well. Sunday, 9 to 11 p.m. on the radio station, on the app, and on YouTube. So yes, it is going to be a very busy next few days. If you haven't seen my Instagram, I did get stocked up at a local Vine today. I had to pick up another bottle of Fernet. I was running low. And they had Quilmes, which I was very excited to get. I mean, I've got three choices now this summer from a beer standpoint. So I'm typically a beer drinker. We have our Soccer Down Here lager, powered by our friends at Nofo Bruco. That is amazing. And having a can of my own beer last night after the show, that's pretty cool. I would have never guessed that I would have actually been involved in having a beer. This is a wild year, y'all. So I had a can of Soccer Down Here lager last night. That was cool. I've got quite a few more in the fridge. Michelob Ultra, our great friends who are sponsoring so many different things, including tomorrow night at Mazzy's in Duluth. I like an Ultra. I also like a Quilmes, and I didn't know they were available anywhere, and I found them at local Vine. I was really excited to get that. I got to have my Argentine beer. So I picked Spain to beat Argentina in the final. It pained me to do it. Maybe it's reverse psychology. I don't know, but I would love to see that final if we get it. I would love, love, love to see that final if we get it. What's up, 130? Wow, that is some serious vibes to go Morocco-Senegal in the final. Morocco wins it. Does Senegal leave the field at some point? I worry about both of them, honestly. I don't know. I just don't feel like both. I don't feel like either one is coming in super strong. Not as strong as I thought they would be coming out of the AFCON tournament in January. I thought both would be teams I'd be considering for deeper runs, but both have had some wobbles. I want to see good things for both of them. I'd love to see Cote d'Ivoire make a deep run. I'm going to be rooting for a lot of teams in this tournament. That's one thing that I'm really looking forward to. This is sheerly... So we're going to go vibes for a minute. Okay, I can do this. Vibes. Who am I rooting for on vibes? Because rooting to me is definitely a vibe sort of thing. So Group A, I'm rooting for Mexico. I do like South Africa as well. And obviously the Atlanta connection with the Kaiser Chiefs and Kaiser Motong, that's super cool. I have never, as a U.S. fan, had the animosity for Mexico that others have had. I just never have. And I really think a big part of that is when I coached in College Park East Point with soccer in the streets, I coached a group of boys that were predominantly Mexican. And we had a lot of fun trash talk and all that back and forth because this was in the early 2010s. So the rivalry was great at that time between the U.S. and Mexico. But I've always enjoyed the Mexican game. I enjoyed Jorge Campos. I really enjoyed Cuauhtémoc Blanco. And now he's doing a podcast after being a mayor of a city, by the way. So Cuauhtémoc has had quite the career. But yeah, he's on a podcast. He's got Piojo dancing on podcasts. It's amazing. Yeah, Mexico on vibes. I'm rooting for them. Group B, I don't know if I really have a rooting interest. I've picked Bosnia and Herzegovina to win the group. But I don't have vibes. I don't have a rooting interest in Group B. Group C, I kind of wanted to have it for Scotland, honestly, but I'm kind of annoyed that Steve Clark called off a closed-door friendly because he's worried about his team getting hurt. nobody else in the world called off a closed door friendly. No other team, 48 of them in this tournament. Not one of them called one off. Nobody, except for Steve Clark. I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm rooting for Haiti. Brazil always brings the vibes. So they'll be fun, but I'm rooting for Haiti. I will be rooting for them to make a run for sure. Group D, I mean, duh, USA. All the vibes. Let's see how that goes on Friday night. Group E, vibes, Ecuador. I really like Ecuador. I picked them as one of the big surprises for me in this tournament. Curaçao as well. Obviously, the Atlanta connections with Andrew Jones, Ozzy Albies. I'd love to see Curaçao pull a surprise. I think it's really brutal for them in that group with Germany, Cote d'Ivoire, and Ecuador. I don't think they get any points. Vibes, though, I'll be rooting for them. They have the best kit that nobody's going to see unless they get out of the knockout, or unless they get to the knockout round, because that yellow kit right now, it's not slated to be featured in any match for Curaçao. They'll be in the blue every game. That yellow is amazing. Great kit. Group F, vibes, Japan. Although, if they're going to sit back and defend the whole time, I'm going to lose some of the vibes, but I do think they're going to be a difficult team to beat. No vibes anywhere else for me. This is just rooting interest. Group G. Belgium, Egypt, Iran, New Zealand. I mean, outside of the Argentines adopting Tim Payne, which is just funny because I do like the songs that have been created. No real vibes. Group H. Spain, I have total vibes for. I love the Spanish style. I already mentioned Cabo Verde as a team that I am picking to get out of the group. I have great vibes for Cabo Verde. It's been cool to follow their story. We had Pico Lopez on SDH on the day of the draw. That was amazing. Two teams that I have vibes for in Group H that I'll be rooting for, and they play the first game here in Atlanta, Spain, Cabo Verde, next Monday. Group I, vibes. Kind of the Vikings of Norway. I think they're going to be a fascinating team to watch because I really don't know what to expect. France and Senegal are both extremely good. Norway could beat them both. But I don't know because we haven't seen Norway in a World Cup since 1998. Like, I know they're talented, but the World Cup's different. It's just a different animal altogether. Vibes, though? Vikings. That'll be fun. Group J, I mean, vibes are Argentina for me. Come on. I was listening to Muchachos driving back from the local Vine show. I mean, yes, Argentina. I have a Diego Maradona 8x10 back here that is allegedly autographed. And there was a certificate of authenticity and everything. I'm going to take it at his word. But yes, vibes, Argentina, all day, every day. Group K, vibes, Colombia, Thomas, Juan Fer. Lucho Diaz, it's a fun Colombian team. Could be fun. Could be a train wreck. Vibes for Atlanta's White Wolves of Uzbekistan, who trained tonight in Marietta. Were there doing a clinic for the kids as well. Very, very cool. You got to root for the, in air quotes, home team, right? Uzbekistan, definitely rooting for them. I'm rooting for DR Congo as well. That's three teams in this group. Sorry, Portugal. I don't root for Portugal. I don't root against Portugal. I'm not the biggest Cristiano Ronaldo fan. I think people who have listened to me over the years know that. This is going to be a really interesting tournament. Kevin Egan picked Portugal to win it. I am not so sure of that. I do think the ego of Ronaldo is going to be an issue. He should keep it in check, as Kevin Egan said. He should. Because you have a lot of other world stars in that team now. But will he? Can Roberto Martinez handle it? I have questions. But they've never really been a team that I've rooted for. Rooting for somebody's different. And this is what I love about the World Cup, because you can root for a lot of teams. Push comes to shove, you have teams that you support. And for me, that's always the U.S. men's national team, and it's Argentina. That's just how it is. I do claim both. And people can argue, and that's fine, and whatever. I don't really care. This is how I feel. I fell in love with the game because of Argentina in 1986, the semifinal against Belgium. That's why I'm doing this. Then, at that time, it wasn't easy to find the U.S. men's national team. The road to 1990, I do remember watching those games and seeking them out. And I remember watching the goal that Paul Caligiuri scored against Trinidad and Tobago to get the U.S. back to the World Cup for the first time in 40 years. I remember that. I remember watching every game you could find on Sports Channel America and Prime Network and all these different places. I remember doing that in the run from 1990 to 1994. There's a U.S. Cup game that I've talked to Chris Henderson about in the rain at RFK that is one of my all-time favorite games against Ireland. And it was Roy Wegerle playing for the U.S. It was Ernie Stewart playing for the U.S. I want to say both were making their debuts. It was John Harkes and Tab Ramos coming back from Europe to play for the U.S. I believe the U.S. came back in the game to win 3-1. Harkes scored a goal. One of my all-time favorite games. One of the games that I remember how it looked on the TV the most. You know, when you think of a game and you have it flash into your mind, that's one that is very clear for me. U.S. Cup 92 in the rain against Ireland. But U.S. and Argentina, those are always my top two vibes teams. Those are the two teams that I will always pull for. If they have to play against each other in a knockout game, I'm just going to be a mess sitting in the corner, basically. Group L vibes. I really have good vibes for Panama. I really do. I'm rooting for Panama in this tournament. I really have a lot of respect for what Thomas Christensen has done with that team. Croatia, I mean, it's a shame that Luka Modric's last dance is going to get lost in the Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo last dances. But Luka Modric is a player you have to root for, right? And I don't, England, I don't have bad vibes for. I don't go out of my way to root for this England team. I just don't have that warm feeling for them that I've had in the past. David Beckham's one of my all-time favorite players. I rooted for those England teams. Wayne Rooney, again, another great player. Loved watching Paul Scholes until he walked away from the national team because they weren't using him. England is a team that I've kind of went back and forth with how I feel about them. This England team, I don't dislike, but I don't root for. Panama is my vibes team in Group L. So that's a lot of teams that I'm going to have like a rooting interest for, and that'll be fun. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm also going to have a rooting interest in pulling a Lionel Messi card out of the Panini sticker box. Still got a few packs I have not opened out of the 50-pack box that I started with. I keep running into more people that are getting excited about the Panini stickers, and people have never done it like me. Buying the album. I got to go to Costco, it seems like, because they've got the special hardcover sticker album. I can't seem to get my sticker album. It keeps going on back order. I got Mohamed Aboulandi from Jordan. I got Sherelle Florenis from Curacao in the blue variant. I got Junosuke Suzuki from Japan, plays for FC Copenhagen. I got the Uzbekistan logo. Again, the White Wolves of Uzbekistan, Atlanta's team. I got Darwin Nunez. I got Josue Casimir from Haiti. And, ooh, this is one I had not gotten before, even though it makes me sad. The Germany 2014 champions card. They beat my beloved Argentina in the final. It was really cool. If you haven't seen it, and it made the rounds a lot after the 2022 World Cup. Mario Götze, who scored the winner in that tournament, watching with his young son, Messi, win the World Cup and celebrating really genuinely. It's one of my favorite videos from the aftermath of Argentina winning in 2022. 130 says, if USA gets second in the group and wins their... they'd have to win the round of 32 game, right? Then they'd be playing in Philadelphia on 4th of July on the 250th anniversary of the United States independence. That would be unbelievable. I will never forget the 4th of July game in 1994 against Brazil. It's just a really cool game because, I mean, look, the U.S. wasn't great on the day. They took Brazil down to the wire. It was a 1-0 win for Brazil. Brazil did play with 10 for a large portion of it because Leonardo threw an elbow, and I don't think he was trying to hurt him. I don't think it was malicious, but it was absolutely reckless and cracked the skull of Tab Ramos. It was one of the scarier injuries I've ever seen on a soccer field. because they cut to Tab's face on the ground, and it was scary. I'd never really seen anything like that at that time. But the U.S. took the eventual champions to the wire in 94 in that game on July 4th. If they get a July 4th game on the 250th anniversary, that would be unbelievable. And just the amount of vibes that would get you to that point, that'd be amazing. That would be script writer kind of stuff. All right, my second pack of the night. Kanuzan from Turkey, the Iraq logo. Benjamin Tahirovic from Bosnia and Herzegovina. Edo Kavembe from DR Congo. Daniel Svensson from Sweden. Hugo Larsson from Sweden. And Joris Kavembe from DR Congo. Yeah, both Kavembes in the same pack. That's kind of odd. That was not a great pack. All right, one more because that was a bad pack. Yeah, we're going to have a sticker swap day, and we're going to do that at Brewhouse South Downtown. Probably during the game twos of the group stage, one afternoon. We will organize this. We'll let everybody know if you are collecting the stickers and you got some to swap. We will have a swap meet at Brewhouse Soto. All right, third pack of the night. Reben Sulaka from Iraq. Siad Kolasinic from Bosnia and Herzegovina. That's a good pick. Rooney Bargi from Sweden. That's a good pick as well. Ali Jassim from Iraq. Mary Demiral from Turkey. Johan Vise from DR Congo. That's a nice one. Lucas Serv from Czechia. Man, that's kind of an under-the-radar pack in that one, but didn't really get a ton of great stuff. What's up, Jaws? Thinks Mexico beat South Africa 3-0. Yeah, I don't know about 3-0, but yes, I think Mexico wins. I think South Africa does struggle to break Mexico down. I think Mexico is going to have a very good tournament. I do. I think the home field advantage is going to be massive. I think they'll be good defensively. Can they score goals consistently? It's going to be the question. It's going to determine how far they go. But South Africa does not have a lot of offensive talent, and that's going to be their issue in this tournament. I think they're a pretty good defensive team. But offensively, going to be an issue. I will tell you the player that jumped out to me watching AFCON, Oswin Apollis. He plays for the Orlando Pirates in the South African League, number 7. Outstanding winger. He's somebody I would love to see come to MLS, by the way. Atlanta United could probably use some wing depth if they want to look at Apollis. Lau Foster for South Africa, he's going to have to do a lot for this team. You look at Mexico, I think defensively they'll be very good with Vasquez and Montes at center back. Who's going to be in goal? Probably not Memo Ochoa, although I put nothing past him. He does seem to come to life in these tournaments. But Julian Quiñones could be the one who really carries this attack. Ton of goals scored for him in the Saudi League. He is with Al-Qadisiyah. Ton of goals for him. And good form coming in his last two games before reporting to Mexico camp. He had 3 goals and 4 goals. So, geez, how many did he have in that game? I think 4 goals in total. Yes, because he had a penalty and then 2 goals from the run of play. That's what it was. Sorry. 4 goals from him in the last 2 games before coming in. He's going to need to carry this team. He is capable of carrying this team. Julian Quiñones could be one of those big names. This is going to be a Mexico team that will be absolutely pushed on by this crowd. Absolutely pushed on by the difficulty of just playing at the Estadio Azteca. Teams who have never dealt with that sort of thing, man, it will mess with you. It is not easy. They're going to be in good shape. When it gets a little bit deeper in the tournament, I do wonder how much they have in the tank. especially on the offensive side. I really like Luis Chavez in this group. Gilberto Mora, the young player from Xolos, the youngest player in the tournament. He is an electric player to come off the bench. Alexis Vega in this group. This is a good Mexico team. They'll get past South Africa tomorrow. Czechia and South Korea. South Korea should win that tomorrow. I am not as high on South Korea as some others are. And Jaws, sorry, I literally just broke you on that one. My bad. I'm just not. I think some of it is just the inconsistency that we've seen in recent results. I think Sonny has gotten going for them a little bit, which is big because it wasn't great for him for a while with LAFC. They barely beat El Salvador. They demolished Trinidad and Tobago. Neither team is very good. They lost to Austria in March. They got blown out by Cote d'Ivoire in March. They didn't score in two games in March. You go back to the end of last year in friendlies, they beat Ghana 1-0, and it's not a great Ghana team. They beat Bolivia 2-0, not a great Bolivia team that didn't qualify. They beat Paraguay in the October window 2-0. That's a good win, and Brazil beat them 5-0 in the October window. I'm not sold on the South Korea team, and it's a shame because I think coming into maybe that Brazil game, in the September window, they beat the U.S. and they drew with Mexico. That's like, okay. But July, they lost Japan as well. You look at the last year of results, it's a loss to Japan, a win over the U.S. That is a win over a team in the tournament. A draw with Mexico, that's a draw against a team in the tournament. So two positive results. A loss to Brazil, a win over Paraguay, that's a third. A win over Ghana, that's a fourth. But then, lost to Ivory Coast, lost to Austria, beat two teams that aren't in the tournament, and one of them barely by in El Salvador. I think they have enough to get out of the group, but I don't think they have enough to make a run. Mexican fans are interesting, Jaws. Like, I think at times they are a little on the negative side. I think Vega's not what he used to be. And I think he's mainly going to be off the bench in this group. Quiñones is the one for me that I think could elevate this group. I really do. But I think they're going to be good defensively. So they'll be able to win tight games. They're going to get a huge push at home. And I think more than anything, they're going to get a huge push from the altitude in Mexico City. It's going to be so tough for teams to go in there and get a result. That's why when you start to look at how the knockouts could fall, if they both win their group and they both win their round of 32, England, Mexico at the Estadio Azteca is an insane matchup. I would cancel everything to watch that match. Really hoping we get that. Just a quick look at some of the other games, and we'll be getting more into game-to-game kind of updates and coverage and previews and all of that tomorrow, because we actually get into matches and I'm so looking forward to it with all the other chaos. And look, all the other chaos is still going to go on during all of this, but all the other chaos that isn't the fun stuff to talk about, we're going to have a lot of fun stuff to talk about. We've got Mexico, South Africa at 3 tomorrow, South Korea, Czechia tomorrow at 10. Again, we're live at 10. So that game will be going on. We'll be talking about it. Lot to dig into with that. We'll be breaking down Mexico, South Africa. We'll be looking ahead to the U.S. and Paraguay on Friday night at 9. Before that, 3 o'clock from Toronto, Canada, hosting Bosnia and Herzegovina. Bosnia and Herzegovina is my pick to win that group. Then on Saturday, 1 o'clock, or no, sorry, 3 o'clock, we get Qatar and Switzerland. 6 o'clock, and we'll be live during this match, almost to the end of it. Brazil and Morocco, I'll be losing my mind. And then 9 o'clock, Haiti and Scotland, which is a sneaky good game. And I think could decide who gets out of that group as a third place team. 9 o'clock Saturday night, that's going to be fun. There's going to be a lot of drunk Scottish fans all over, everywhere. Then Sunday, or no, sorry, we're not done on Saturday. Midnight. Australia and Turkey, midnight Saturday, midnight Atlanta time anyway. Oof. Then we get to Sunday. We are 9 to 11, 5 to 7:40 on Saturday, 9 to 11 on Sunday. Your games before that, Germany and Curacao, 1 o'clock. The Netherlands and Japan, that's a really, really good one to start Group F. That's at 4 o'clock. Cote d'Ivoire and Ecuador at 7 o'clock. Are we talking about La Tri on the show from 9 to 11? And then at 10 o'clock on Sunday, Sweden and Tunisia. And then Monday, you know, there's this thing at noon at the Atlanta Stadium. You might have heard of it. Spain and Cabo Verde. That's a whole lot of games between now and that one to open things up here in Atlanta. That's a whole lot of talking points. That's a whole lot of stuff. Cannot wait. Absolutely cannot wait for all of this. It's felt like it has been forever to get to this point. It has been a long journey. But we're about to start this World Cup in 2026, y'all. Jaws, probably final one I'm going to take. So I'm going to call it a little early today because, I mean, today has been a very long day. It has been a very busy day, but it's been a very good day as well. Jaws, I'm kind of mad that there are games on the same time or near time, noon and... No, that's not true, Jaws. They are not overlapping. There are no games that overlap until the group stage. Group D is at midnight Saturday night. And then Germany Curacao is at 1 p.m. You got 13 hours of difference. No. Midnight. So it's going to be a late night Saturday night. And then you can sleep in a little bit and get ready for the 1 o'clock kick. Yeah, it's... Whew, you have to check all these time zones and stuff too. For me, and I want you to know this on everything going on in my universe. If you don't know soccer down here, it's our what started as one podcast and has now turned into a whole media network. A lot of cool stuff coming on SDH throughout the World Cup. A lot of coverage of everything going on, a lot of talk. We'll have updates on games on our Instagram, especially. Make sure you're following us at Soccer Down Here. But here's the deal. So we're going to close out the night most nights here on AST. And not every, like, we're not going to be on the midnight game on Saturday night, but often we're going to close it out. And on YouTube, we will carry it through till the end of that last game. Often. You'll start the day with Morning Espresso, which is the newsletter. It's free. I really put a lot into it. I hope the people who have subscribed to it have enjoyed it. I put a lot into that to find a lot of different coverage and perspectives. And I try to find nuggets that you might not be getting here in the U.S. in the media, because I go through the local media around different parts of the world and put it all together in a pretty skimmable, easy to read, about 10 minutes. I want it to be like your sports page. I grew up reading the sports page. I want Morning Espresso to be that for you from a soccer perspective. That will be daily through the World Cup final. So every morning between 8 and 10 a.m., and I got a feeling that some days it's going to be closer to 10 because the night before is going to be long. But yes, before 8 and 10, it can be delivered to your email box. Go to soccerdownhere.net, our overall website. You can sign up there. Or go to soccerdownhere.beehive, BEEHIIV.com. to sign up for the newsletter. It's free. It's there for you. You can skim it. You can read it. You can read some of it. It's all there for you for free. And we try to basically give you the Atlanta perspective of the game globally, and especially during this World Cup. And then SDH AM with John Nelson, who you hear on Atlanta United broadcasts here in the post game at home category. You also have heard his Best of the Week of SDH AM here on Odyssey on the Off the Woodwork podcast for, I think, about a year now. But John Nelson will have SDH AM every morning 9:05 for you on the Soccer Down Here YouTube and Twitch channels and on X as well. So morning espresso will be your morning read. SDHAM can be your morning listen to get you ready for the World Cup day. And AST will be your recap to put a bow on everything for your World Cup day. We got a whole bunch of them coming up. We don't have a day off of games until after the round of 16, if I am not mistaken. That's a whole lot of days of soccer that we are going to have here on AST, on SDH, in all the places. A whole bunch of days of games before there's a break. I'm going to double check this. The first break where we don't have a game from now is July 8th. Every day from June 11th through July 7th, we will have at least one game. I don't want to say there's one. There will be at least one game. There is one round of 32 game on June 28th. That is the only day we will have one game. But we will have a game in the World Cup every day from June 11th through July 7th. It's going to be a marathon, y'all. It's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure you're following me at Longshoe. Make sure you're following the station at 92.9, the game on all the platforms. We will have all the coverage. Tomorrow, 10 to 11 on the radio. Longer than that because we'll stay through the end of the Czechia and South Korea game on YouTube. That's tomorrow. Friday, it will be pregame. It will be 6 to 8 on Atlanta Sports Station, 92.9 the game and the Odyssey app. 6 to 8 from Mazzy's in Duluth ahead of the U.S. game, which kicks off at 9. Then Saturday, 5 to 7:40 AST. A lot of U.S. men's national team recap in that one. A lot of other talk as well, because there's a whole bunch of games on Saturday. We'll get you ready for the crazy Haiti-Scotland game. All that is happening on Saturday. Sunday, 9 to 11 on the station, on Odyssey, on YouTube. All the soccer talk, all the things coming up over the next few days. Get some sleep. Buckle up. Get some sleep. Get some rest. You're going to need it. We don't have any days off until July 7th. Deep breaths, y'all. Deep breaths. World Cup kicks off at 3 o'clock. Enjoy it. Watch it with friends. Watch it with strangers. Meet people. Engage in this global spectacle that we're about to have together. Cannot wait. Adios, everybody.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.